Hi, welcome back to Redefined by Love. I'm Jennifer. I'm the host of Redefined by Love. And if you're new, just to tell you a little bit about what this podcast is all about, we like to talk about the things that define us, our mindsets, opinions, identity, about ourselves and others, and how we can literally redefine those by the truth of the way God sees us instead of the way the world sees us, more or less. So today I'm really excited. I have a special guest that's going to be with us in our discussion today. She's a great friend of mine. I absolutely love her. Her name is Unique Bell, and I'm actually going to let her introduce herself to you and tell you just a little bit about herself.
Thank you so much for having me, Jennifer. As she said, my name is Unique. I am a mom, I'm an entrepreneur, and I'm a fresh 31 years old, and I just love life, and that's about it for me.
So I actually met Unique, I don't know, what was it, about 2 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
It was almost like one of those instant God connections. It happened literally from day one, and here we are 2 years later talking about this. So today we're actually going to talk about how to use our past experiences, so whether those experiences are good, bad, or ugly, right? We're going to talk about how we can actually reframe how we view them, and instead of looking at them as things that can limit us or define us, we can actually begin to look at them as proof of God's faithfulness and for us being victorious through those circumstances. So as such, you know, I guess I'll start out with a brief overview of my opinion in that area, and then Unique, you can then begin to share yours as well, and then we'll go into some specific questions. Okay. So in my case, I have obviously a lot of things in my past, like I'm pretty sure everyone does listening to this. I came from a situation that was basically orphanhood. Neither of my parents raised me. I was raised by family members, and I wasn't always made to feel like I was, like, welcome. I came out of domestic violence, other forms of abuse, a bit of alcohol abuse on my part, although very, very brief. And countless other things, like a lot of heartbreak, a lot of depression, anxiety, just really, really bad emotional state. And for a long time, to be honest with you, I let that define me. So I let myself feel like, well, who am I to talk to someone about marriage when I got divorced? Who am I to, you know, talk to people about how to have high self-esteem when it took so long for me to actually develop good self-esteem? And it actually was recently, like I would say this year, maybe a little bit in the last part of 2023, that I began to see these things instead of limitations for me as areas where God has just shown himself to be faithful and I've experienced victory over them. So essentially, in many ways, that makes us the person that can impart to others. And that's like my general overview. So what do you think about it, Unique?
I feel the exact same. I have things in my past that have hindered my confidence or my way of viewing life in the past. And just through the experience, it has, through the experience and also the relationship that I have developed with God, those views that I had in the past, they've changed. They've matured, and I am much wiser than I was then.
Yeah, and I think that's great, especially with you being 31. Mm-hmm. you're a whole 10 years younger than me, which is crazy. So I think when I was 31, obviously I didn't have that mindset. So even if you're like, oh, I'm 31, like that's still early for a mindset that sets you up really to walk in victory. And so one of the things that I was really thinking about when I was thinking of this topic is like, so, for instance, I work with a lot of people who come out of very severe addiction. And, you know, I'm talking like heavy, heavy drugs, people that have overdosed before and been to like some really, really dark places. And a lot of times what I find is that the self-esteem is greatly affected after. So maybe not while in the grips of it. But after coming out and receiving a measure of healing, a lot of times that's when these self-esteem issues start to resurface. So I'm kind of curious, like, from your perspective, especially being a little bit younger, like, do you think that after you started getting healing and seeing, like, some of these things, like, that's when the self-esteem started to really, like, get affected by some of the past experiences, or do you feel like you like felt it in the thing? Just curious.
I think that for me, during the occurrences, my self-esteem was greatly impacted. I think that in hindsight, my self-esteem it repaired itself during the self-work and the solitude, the prayer and fasting, and just taking time for myself is when the self-esteem repaired itself. Just like any wound takes time to heal. I think that once I figured out how long it took, once I figured out that it could happen, that I could repair my own self-esteem, because, you know, while you're in the instance, while you're in the situation, wherever, whatever that may be, you just feel like it's just never gonna be back to normal. You just feel like this feeling or these feelings that you have, they're just gonna last forever. And that sometimes leads people to suicide. But once you realize how it works and how your body is just like, it could just be this big open wound that just needs time to heal, then you know how to kind of self heal and kind of self soothe, and also use God as also a partner in repairing yourself, if that makes sense.
No, that does make sense. So I think my story is kind of a little the opposite. Same component. So it's like the same ingredients, right?
Mm-hmm.
But mine was a little opposite because I was very deep in the depths of depression. And when I say like depression, I'm not talking about like the cute depression that we see on TV, like, oh, lay in bed and eat candy. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about like depression, like asking God, why am I even alive? Like, can't I just be done with this? And so I actually had to have a drastic encounter with the Lord to even come to a point where I realized that something was wrong. Like, I was oblivious to the fact that the way I felt was not me. Like, I actually thought it was just my personality, to be honest with you. For years, I said that. I thought, oh, I'm just a somber person. Like, this is just how I am. But I had, like, a really life-changing face-to-face encounter with the Lord in 2020. And it was after that I began some of those other components. Like, of course, you know, still came into play prayer and, you know, fasting and, you know, doing all of the more things that we consider like self-work, you know, mm-hmm. that's still God leading us into it. At least in my case, it was still him directing me to, you know, mm-hmm. take a step back from things and spend some quiet time and that type of thing. But honestly, I don't even think I would have been able to recognize the state of myself. And I think it depends on how deep you are in that dark place. You know, mm-hmm. sometimes we do know, like, we're like, okay, I know this is bad. I shouldn't be doing it. But sometimes we go so far down the rabbit hole that it's almost like you begin to think that's normal. And coming out of that, I think my self-esteem got somewhat repaired. Cause in my case, I'm the opposite. Like, I knew my self-esteem was not good in the middle of it. But once I came out of it, I saw how bad my self-esteem was. Mm-hmm. So it's almost like that light that shone, you know, me the way to come out also yes. revealed things. And without that, I don't think I would have ever known how bad my self-esteem was or how bad my ability to relate to other people, which, you know, I think kind of brings me into kind of the next question I would ask is when you're in that place and you're going through it and you're experiencing like this dark darkness, right? Do you feel like you had trouble relating to others, or do you feel like you were always pretty much, you know, because I know you as somebody that you could probably relate to anyone.
Well, yeah, I do. Well, two things can be true at once. So I do think that I have the ability to relate to other people, even if I haven't been through the situation, just the feeling that they might feel, I could relate to it in some small way. But regarding the question, I think that while I was in certain situations where I felt I was at my lowest, I think that I didn't even want, I'm the type of person, if I'm going through something, I seclude mm-hmm. myself. And so I really right. don't allow myself to be honest with other people because I know that in that situation, I am not being honest with myself because right. even though, you know, my mind is telling me this situation is not going the right way. Otherwise, I would not feel this way. And because I'm denying myself so much, I feel that others will look at me as if I'm just some kind of big idiot. So I deny other people access to my depression. My mother didn't know that I was depressed for a long time. I put on a smile all the time while I was depressed. So I didn't give myself an opportunity to be relatable, or I also sometimes did not allow other people to speak on my situations because they might have been telling me something that I was supposed to hear, but I didn't want to hear at the time. So that was just the type of person I was in that situation. Today, I would make completely different decisions. Today, I feel just having already been through those situations in the past, I think that I couldn't allow myself to get so deep into depression. But I really don't know how the situation might go. I think I've been through enough to kind of block off those like sad or depression receptors. Whatever happens in your body when you become depressed, I feel like I've already felt depression. And I think sometimes like when you haven't gone through it yet, you don't know how it goes. And so you have to figure out how to get out of it. When you haven't been to a place before and you you don't have like a GPS or a map that tells you how to navigate through it. You have to figure it out on your own. And that's what I had to do. And so now that I've already been there and done that, I know how to get through now. I don't need the GPS. I know these streets by heart. So it's just different when you're finally out of it and you allow yourself to be a testimony to other people who are going through it and don't have the directions to get through it. And so I can allow myself now to be relatable to other people. I can relate to other people who have gone through what I've gone through or something similar. And I can help them. I can assist them with getting through, you know, whatever the situation is. That was pretty long, but yeah.
that's really good. So I think that probably a better way for me to ask the question would have been connecting to others, not so much because I think empathy comes with emotional maturity. Mm-hmm. I think there's a version of something that looks like empathy that can happen even if you're not emotionally mature, especially if you battle like codependency or any type of emotional vulnerability disorders. I think it looks as though it's empathy, but it's not true empathy. So as we become more spiritually mature, we are better able to have actual empathy for other people without it necessarily pulling us into it, right? So what I was thinking as you were speaking is that, so there's a couple different versions of depression, right? And we all know the stories, the horrible stories about like the comedians and all these people that every time you see them, they're the life of the party. They're the, you know, and there, you look at them and you think, wow, I wish I could be that happy any day of the week, right? Mm-hmm. But the reality is these individuals are also depressed. Right. So there is another side to depression. So what I found, my kind of go-to formula, right? Because again, I suffer really bad depression too, like debilitating. And what I found is, when I experience emotional circumstances or things that I feel like are emotionally difficult to process, I actually have learned the necessity to process it. Mm-hmm. So I don't necessarily say, okay, well, I'm gonna ignore it or like push it down, because I've actually found that that is bad later. So it may make me feel better right now if I just push it aside and say, no, I don't feel sad. I'm just going to get up and go. But at some point I have to develop, right? I have to develop a plan. Mm-hmm. I have to develop a way to deal with those emotions to where I process them and then release them, and then I can move forward. Because I've done both. I've done just laying in them and letting them overtake me and control me. Bad idea. But I've also done the, well, I'm just going to push this down and say I'm okay and keep going, and also bad. Because they both, eventually, the emotions still end up governing us. It's just whether it happens now or later. Mm-hmm. And both are bad. Honestly, I would almost say the second one is worse, because what used to happen to me in my experience was when I did that, they would come out at the wrong time. And it would be that epitome, you know, the age old story of the woman whose husband left a sock on the floor and she flips out because he left the sock on the floor. But she's not flipping out because he left a sock on the floor. She's flipping out because work is stressful. The kids are stressful. People hurt her feelings. She's felt rejected or abused, and she hasn't said anything for all of that. And now this sock on the floor becomes the straw that broke the camel's back. Right. And so she reacts to the sock on the floor, but she's reacting to everything else, right? And so I think it's important for us to develop ways that we release things that are emotionally taxing and make us feel pain, hurt, however you want to say it. So I would love to like talk about what some of those things could be. Like in your case, what do you do? Like, I know you said you take some time and step back, which is actually a really good thing. But what are some of like the things that you could tell other people, hey, try this, for when you encounter things that are emotionally difficult, stressful, your feelings are hurt, whatever you want to say.
I just had to adjust. I had to decide you're going to do things different from the way that you did them in the past, because the way that you responded to different situations, that didn't work. So my whole model is to do the complete opposite of what I would do in the past. So instead of yelling at someone or being in an argument, I'm just going to walk away, or I'm going to hang up. I'm just going to completely remove myself from situations that trigger me. If it's something like, I think it just really takes like, it really, really takes time. My whole thing is just time. Everything for me is just time. I know that, okay, if it hurts right now, in a little while, like my emotions will regulate themselves. You know, it might sting a little bit, but you just have to give yourself time, and you give yourself as much time as you need. And you can go out and talk to someone professionally if you need to get these things from the inside of your body to the outside. Listen to someone or talk to someone who has a voice of reason for you, someone that can help you make sense of things. And I think that my spiritual connection with the Lord really helps a lot. And I know we don't want to really get too preachy, but it really, really helps me, because I think that the Lord is orchestrating everything. And so because I think that he's orchestrating everything, I'm not gonna like ball my fist up and shake my fist up at God and, you know, and curse him. And so because I'm not gonna do that, I'm going to recognize and understand that this is his plan. So, okay, while I may be going through this heartbreak, my father promised me something. My creator promised me something. And heartbreak was not it. And so because I believe in him and I trust him, I know that this might be happening right now, but this is just a segue for what's to come. And that means something good is coming after this. And that really moves me through these situations where I feel like I can no longer be extremely impacted in a very harmful way by any situation that's coming my way. It's really God's armor and his protection that really helps me move through these situations.
Yeah, so I think that's really good. I think that In my case, there's some of those components for sure. Like, the way I look at it is this: I can experience something that is bad, number one, and recognize that God did not do it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I would never attribute a bad experience I have to part of his plan or him. Mm-hmm. Like, I recognize that there's a lot of forces spiritually, right, that mm-hmm. are operating, especially in the world that we live in, and therefore many things happen, you know, to me. Sometimes, though, the reality is the things that happen are the result of my choices. And so when things that we attribute to being negative or bad or unfortunate, however you want to say it, happen, I can recognize both at the same time. I can recognize mm-hmm. this is a crappy situation, right? I hate this situation. I hate that somebody died. I hate that I'm sick. I hate that I don't have the finances to do something. You know, whatever it may be, we could apply it to anything. But he is still good. So mm-hmm. when I was emotionally immature, I would attribute everything I experienced to, okay, well, God is. So you hear people preach stuff like, oh, well, God used that sickness to humble the person. Or, well, the reason they're not healed yet is because God wants them to learn a lesson and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I actually reject any mm-hmm. version of theology that associates negative experiences with God. Mm-hmm. But I do recognize what scripture actually says, which it says that he will turn any situation for our good, which yes. really just means he'll take the bad situations that we find ourselves in or the bad situations mm-hmm. that happen and pull good things out of them or rework them, right? Like the whole pottery, you know, the potter's room that's in the book of, I think that's Jeremiah. I could be wrong. I think it's Jeremiah. But so he'll turn it off for a positive outcome. And it's more like when I talk about what do we do, like what could we tell somebody, I'm more thinking like for somebody who is either developing their relationship with the Lord or for somebody who doesn't know what that looks like. Because I could say, mm-hmm. oh, I just spend time with the Lord. Well, if they don't know him, they don't right. know it. You know what I mean? So for me, just some examples that I would personally give in my life. I definitely find a lot of peace in sitting in quiet time with the Lord. I have found the benefit of not finding or meeting him as some external force, but really understanding and focusing on the union that exists between me and the Lord. So focusing to that place that exists within my spirit, you know, and spending quiet time there and not always, you know, praying, even not always fasting, not always reading scripture, not always, mm-hmm. you know, just having that quiet time. I've actually found most of my healing in that time, to be fair.
Yes.
So I do that when things are really bad. Like, I'll just shut everything off mm-hmm. and listen. Yep. Listen
that
for
solitude.
Listen for his voice, right?
Yeah.
Another thing I do is worship is a huge way for me. Like, it's actually funny because sometimes I move and go so much. Like, I have so many different things on my plate, so many different people that reach out to me or are leaning on me for whatever, you know. And these are truly God-given relationships. Like, this is not me complaining about it at all, because I only connect with people he tells me to connect to the depth that he tells me to. So, but sometimes I'm, like, not even aware that something is bothering me, that I'm stressed, that I'm depressed a little bit or anything like that. And so I'll just have these times where I really feel the Lord usher me into a moment of worship, and it can be the weirdest of times, but I've learned to honor that, like that gentle pull into a time of worship. Mm-hmm. And it'll be like a 2-minute worship song or 2-minute worship session, 5-10 minutes even, and I'll be crying and I'm like, oh my God, I didn't even know, like, I was upset yeah. about something. Yeah. I didn't know that I was I was struggling with anything. I thought I was good. But it's because of that habit that we have to just push it down and say, nope, right. I'm not acknowledging it. Nope, I got to go. I got a meeting. I got a business to run. I got to go to work. I got a session, you know. So we push it down and we're like, I'm not dealing with it. I'm going to pretend it's not there. But he actually knows me.
Right.
And he knows me to know that I need to release that. And that's kind of what one second, I'm going to let you speak. What I need to do for me, my biggest tip that I could give is I have to release it to him. I cannot apply a conscious process. He's the only place I've ever found that I can release it and not take it with me, basically. Mm-hmm. So you, go ahead. Sorry.
Well, I was going to say, for those who don't know how to come to the Father yet or how to collaborate with him, I would say that time to yourself, that time by yourself, allows you the time to actually bring those things to the surface. Because what else are you going to do while you're sitting in solitude and in quiet, but think about everything that's going on at the time? And it allows you time to be honest with yourself. And when you're just on a go and responding emotionally, you're not giving yourself the time to actually be very honest. You're not giving yourself the time to make correct decisions when you're just constantly going at the situation, attacking the situation, trying to correct the situation or fix it in like a manic type of manner. So I would say, you know, take some time. I call my closet my prayer closet, but if you have anywhere where you could just sit and just think about things, you can assess it and kind of internalize, you know, what you should do and choose yourself. Be honest with yourself. I don't think that we're supposed to be here to have so many negative encounters. But if we will be honest with ourselves first, then we will make better decisions. You know, allowing people or allowing ourselves to be put in or put ourselves in situations that have a negative outcome is denying ourselves of the truth. It's saying, like, you know, I know this is wrong in my mind, but disregarding that. And so if you actually just sit and take the time and internalize the situation at hand, you can make a very intelligent decision on how to move forward. Even if you don't know how to come to the Father about what you're going through. And that was all.
Yeah, no, I think those are really good tips. I think there's some differences for each of us and what that looks like to us. But I think that ultimately, it results in the importance of, processing and releasing things. Because it, even if you sit and you're thinking about it and you're evaluating it, it depends on the depth of the pain. You know, I'm like, for me, so if somebody has really hurt me, like to a point that it's detrimental, I can fall into what clinically, you know, psychology would refer to as rumination too. So, and ruminating is like where you're thinking on a thing over and over and over and over again. So I very easily fall into that habit. I've done it for years. And so I have to actually be careful with just sitting and thinking about the problem. What I often have to do is sit and say, I'm literally, and sometimes it's so serious that I have to visualize myself handing that problem and leaving it at the cross. Like, literally visualizing myself unloading it and leaving it there for Jesus and saying, I'm disconnecting from it. I'm not even going to touch it anymore. And then I can process the emotions associated with it and begin to release those. So it's not, for me, it's not so much thinking about it. It can be depending on what it is, but I can fall into bad habits of rumination where, cause typically I'm a deep thinker. So if I start thinking too deep on something, I'll think about what the other person's perspective was, what they really meant by it, what it says about me, what it says about our relationship. And you see how very easily that could be a very bad rabbit hole.
Yes. Yes.
So you have to know yourself, you know, too. You have to know what your triggers are. And I really liked what you said about removing yourself from the triggers. And I think depending on where you are in the processing of maturity, I think there is a time when you have to remove yourself from the triggers. But eventually we do have to understand that we're going to get triggered. Like,
yeah, somewhere, no matter how much healing.
So when we can remove ourselves, and that's the point there, actually, and I'm going to pause that for 1 second because that's another question. So in the beginning, you must remove yourself from them because you don't have the emotional maturity to deal with it. Like, and as soon as you're triggered, you're going to go boom. You know, but as we grow in maturity, and I would even say I'm talking spiritual maturity, right? As we grow in spiritual maturity and begin to submit ourselves and our thinking process and the way we perceive and view the world more and more to a Christ kingdom center mindset, we begin to better deal with bigger levels of triggering. And yet exercise dominion and governance over our emotions, which eventually is the goal. Like, we should eventually seek to govern our emotions where, yeah, they said or did something that could trigger us, but we govern that situation. But that is not for the brand new. Like, that is something that happens over time through the Lord walking us through a process of spiritual maturity, quite frankly. And when it comes to, like, triggers, though, is there a point in our lives where the trauma of our past is healed to a level where we are no longer triggered?
I would say no. The reason why I say
yeah, you gotta no, back that up because I strongly disagree with that. But go ahead.
I say no because I think the difference for me is that you can still be triggered, but you could respond differently. Something can trigger you, and. I'm trying to give an example without really giving so much information about it, but let's say a person, no matter how hard you try, you know this person triggers you. This person triggers you. Maybe that you could be related to this person, and you really are trying to be very intentional about how you respond to being triggered by them. This person is your family. I'll just say that. And, you know, you can avoid them if you want. You cannot come around them, not call them, because you know they're going to say a certain thing or act a certain way. But let's just say you end up around them again. Even though you have made the attempts to avoid that trigger, you've removed yourself because you're trying to be intentional about not being triggered, etc. But let's just say there's a family reunion and they're there. Mm-hmm. And they do their same thing that they've always done. And you can be triggered. I think that you can be triggered. But the way that you respond to being triggered is what is the progress you've made for yourself. Yep. And this is actually something that is happening in my life right now. You know, although I like to not be around this person for certain periods of time, long periods of time, because I know, you know, the direction a conversation might go. Mm-hmm. When I reconnect with them again, since I know how they are and I can't change them, no matter how many times I've expressed how their attitude or the things that they say trigger me, and they have decided that they're not going to stop. Now I have decided that, okay, when this person says something that triggers me, I'm just going to ignore them. Even though they've triggered me, I'm just not going to say anything back, because in the past, I would respond to them and I would have something to say back. But now I just decide not to.
So here's why I have a different, and it could be our definition of what trigger is, right? So to explain my point, I'm going to define the word trigger according to the Cambridge Dictionary, right? So it defines trigger to cause a strong emotional reaction of fear, shock, anger, or worry in someone, especially because they are made to remember something bad that has happened in the past. Mm-hmm. So because of that, I say you can stop being triggered. Now, let me make a demarcation. When you're not triggered, it doesn't mean that that behavior doesn't cause negative emotional response. In other words, they can agitate us, they can make us angry, they can frustrate us, they can hurt our feelings. All of those are still emotions that exist and can be existed in and managed in a healthy way. A trigger is different, because a trigger is like, I pull the trigger of the gun, there is no stopping it. There is nothing I can do to halt or stop it. You can be, when you're still triggered, the actual clinical definition of trigger, according to this dictionary, is that it actually takes you back to the emotions associated with that event. Mm-hmm. So I cannot like someone. And guess what? That's reality. We're going to have people we don't get along with the best. We're going to have people that have different points of view from us. We're going to have people that we disagree strongly with, right? All those can be done in a healthy way. You would agree, right? Mm-hmm, but the trigger. So when I say I think we can stop being triggered, I think that if that event is healed, we won't be triggered anymore. That's why what you notice over time is the thing that it takes to actually trigger that trauma becomes more and more severe. In other words, it used to trigger a rejection response in me when people didn't call me back. That might sound crazy to you and some other people that listen to this, but when I say it was a rejection response, if you saw it, you would have known it. Mm-hmm. Because I felt absolutely rejected and abused when people didn't answer my phone calls. There was a time that I was that traumatized, but over time that trauma began to be healed through my relationship with the Lord and through experiencing his love. That trauma began to be healed. So now, years later, it doesn't trigger that trauma for somebody not to answer my phone call. But over the years throughout that time, while I was getting healed from that trauma, there were other things that would trigger it. So at one point, it maybe wasn't the phone calls, but it was having a conversation where somebody was expressing conflict with me would trigger it. So I think that what you're saying has some validity when it comes to how we react to negative emotional responses. And yes, I agree with you. There's never going to be a time when that doesn't exist. Like, somebody's going to say something you don't like. Somebody's going to rub us the wrong way someday. Somebody's going to have an opinion we don't like. And we are responsible to govern those emotions. But when it comes to the triggers, I do. I think that trauma can be healed to a point that we're no longer triggered back into that trauma, is what I mean. Where we think back on the trauma and it no longer has emotional So that's how you know you've been healed from something.
And I can agree with that.
That's what a therapist told me once. She said, when you think about that event, if there's still emotions, and not emotions, but strong... Like, when you think of that guy that did you dirty, do you still ball up your fist and you like, if I saw him right now, I might hit him, right? That means you're not healed from what happened. But if you think of him and you're like, whoa, that was a crazy time. Like, that experience was wild. But you don't have that strong emotional response. Anymore. You're just kind of like, it happened. Yeah. It's over. I'm past it. He moved on. We've moved on with life. You know, I've had, so funniest thing, and I'll tell you, this is how I know you can be healed from trauma. My ex, abusive as they come, actually. One of the worst abusers I've ever met in my life, to be honest. Emotionally, physically, mentally, financially, any type of abuse there is, he did it to me. Yet, there have been times that he's reached out to me for prayer. There have been times that he's reached out and I'm not angry. Like, I have those strong emotional responses to him because the Lord walked me through healing for that particular trauma, right? Yeah. My mother for a long time was a huge point of trauma in my life. Like, and like you said, I had to avoid for a long time. What you said, I had to say, I'm going to move myself out of this situation. I am not going to engage. I'm not going to talk. I'm not going to go to the event. If she's there, I'm going to omit myself from it. Mm-hmm. And there was a season that God wanted me to do that because he had to heal me. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you can't get healed in the middle of it.
Yes. Yep.
I know we want to tell ourselves that we can because we're superpowers, but you cannot heal the soul in the middle of the thing that wounded it. You just can't. You have to step back. You have to step back. And so he called me for a season to completely step back. And now lately he's been moving me back in because he's healed that part of me now. So that it's probably, and I hate to say this like this, but it could even be the Lord bringing you into those situations where he's now saying, hey, while the trauma of it is healed, now I want you to actually exercise governing yourself.
Yes.
Because that's actually how we show power in our lives.
Yeah.
So he may actually be, he may be moving you into those environments. Like, I don't know. I mean, I'm not him, but I could see that being very true because I know you've had a lot of healing and spiritual growth over even the time I've known you, 2 years.
Yep. It's true.
So maybe he is moving you into those environments so you can show, like, look.
He is definitely moving and showing his hands because... I think I just shared with you that someone from my past that I feel very traumatized by, I asked as of what, maybe 3 weeks ago now, I asked the Lord to help me forgive this person. And that person messaged me the same day, hours later, haven't been around them 4 years. And I still was so hung up over the situation and how I was treated and how I felt. And 4 years later, I asked God to help me forgive them, because something that I was listening to made me think of them. And that person texted me a couple hours later, and everything that I was feeling about them, the resentment, the bitterness, the anger, the hurt, all of that went away that day.
And he does heal us that way. But, you know, sometimes it's already, like, he's already processed. I don't know how else to say it, but he's already processed it in us. And he just has to let us experience the fact that we don't any longer have those emotions, too. And sometimes he does it just like that, what you said, like it's an instantaneous thing. And for some of us, it's a different, you know, he does it a different way. And it's up to him how he does it. But I think that healing from trauma is essential to healing from, you know, like depression and stuff like that. Because as we actually heal the trauma, a lot of times the depression, you know, will go away. But I agree fully with what you're saying. I think that he's definitely moving you into those situations so that you can show these individuals, you know, the power of restoration and what it looks like. Even if it doesn't mean that you ever say, okay, let's be best friends, or let's hang out. You come to my house every other day. You know, you don't, that to me isn't the only way to exhibit restoration. Restoration can just be, we don't have this aggression. Well, I do want to thank you for joining us, Unique, and I want to thank you guys for listening. We will see you guys next time. Bye.
Thank you so much for having me.
Bye.
Bye-bye.